Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Brian, it's me, Alvarado, Tim.
Yes, I know. I see the fakeologist.
Yeah, we're streaming live across the world on my site.
Right.
Where the heck is, where is everybody?
I don't know, but I'm going to switch over to my iPad just to make sure everything's going okay here.
All right. It's Friday, July 24th, the year of our Lord, 2020. This is the Fakeologist speaking. And I'm on the call with Brian of BigVirusHoax.com.
Yes. And not sure where everybody is right now.
Well, Brian sent me a nice email today, which is very kind. And it's actually given me an excuse to do a broadcast, or at least join in on a broadcast every day, even though these guys can pretty much do it themselves. But I've just used it as an excuse to spread the gospel of fakeologists and get a little bit of the direct American experience since I'm not there.
Well, I think the quality jumped up 50% when you joined in.
Ah, God bless you.
Thanks for that.
Well, that's all right.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Brian. Hey, Dr. Fakeologist and Dr.
There's Mike.
Hi, buddy.
There's Mike. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Dr. Fakeologist. How you doing?
Thanks. I invited anyone on my server to join in, so if you see somebody ring the doorbell. Tonight, I definitely have to stop at 9 o'clock for myself, because I get up early tomorrow. Actually, I'm doing
Brian,
another...
You got the controls, right? So you got your bell on and all that?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Okay. Actually, I'm doing another show tomorrow at 6 a.m., Eastern Daylight Savings Time. You guys are certainly welcome if you get up at that time. This is when we do the FART, the Fakeologist Australian Roundtable, where the Australians all get drunk and I don't, because I'm usually on the road talking from my vehicle, but they're all tanked because it's Saturday night at their place. And we just talk about fakeology and... Of course, we're going to talk about Corona, because that's just about the only thing going on these days. Let's be honest.
You got Fakeologist as the host right now, Brian?
I ain't the host.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't even...
On my end, it says I'm a Fakeologist host.
How?
I may have sent it over there, because I was on my computer and I jumped over to my iPad, so I might have given it to you, Tim, just to...
Oh, I just did... What do you want me to do to give it back?
Just go up to meetings.
Okay.
More on meeting settings, and then switch. Or
okay.
Give,
more. Okay.
Giveaway hosting or whatever.
I'm looking for that participant.
Oh, here we go. I'm saying claim host, so maybe it'll let you know.
I didn't do anything. I'm innocent.
Okay, well, maybe I'm back on as host. Yes. Yeah, I think I'm good now. All right.
All right.
All right. And there's Chris. Cool.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
What's up, brothers?
Hey, man. I'll give you a Dr. Chris moniker.
All right.
That's cool.
Where's Danielle?
She's coming. She's putting Sam to bed.
That a girl.
I'll be back in a minute. I'm the cook every evening for the family, and I'm just finishing up making sure everybody's got their stuff in there.
All right.
How do I put a picture for me, Brian?
Just click the three dots on the right corner of your picture, and then you can do all kinds of stuff.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You can also do a gallery view so you can see everybody at the same time.
Yeah, that I got going on.
Okay.
I don't think that's available like on an iPhone.
Mute my audio.
Because Kenny tries to do that and says he can't find anything, so maybe the screen's so small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be different.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, I can't seem to, the three buttons don't let me do anything. It just says mute my audio, stop video, rename, film, pin video.
You might have to do it in account setting.
Edit profile picture.
Now,
hide self view, but then you guys will see.
Could I play a video for you guys about the guy who I think is got this hoax figured out more than anyone else?
Sure, man.
Hit it. Come on.
Are you guys ready to listen, or do you want to go make your dinner first and come back?
Well, I'm going
to
slide out of view and munch on my part of my meal, man.
No, but can you still listen?
I can see. I can see and listen. Yeah, come off this.
Okay, let me play Vernon Coleman from FakeoTube.com.
All right.
This guy is an old man in a chair. He is a doctor. He is an author. I have got a couple of his books. He's been around a long time. I think he's got nothing to lose because he's at the sunset end of his life. So I don't really think he cares what people think, which is great. But he's really gone from being suspicious to calling this a worldwide global hoax. He's absolutely not afraid to say it anymore. And this guy gives a couple of nuggets every single day. And he does a talk every day for 15 minutes. This one is 14 minutes and 44 seconds. Interesting number. And I'll play, and you can just say stop if you want, and I can pause at any time.
I think Chris at Dollar Vigilante also has gone over to the right side. He's basically saying it's a global hoax, too. He was on the edge.
Oh, really? Interesting. So. I'm not a tremendous fan of the guy. I remember him from a long time ago, but I've seen some of his stuff. He's okay. I think he's a Canadian in Mexico.
I think so, yeah, but he's got some funny stuff on there sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Let me play a bit.
All right.
We older folk talk a good deal about the past, partly because there's a good deal of it, and it's something we know something about, partly because it's sometimes easier to make more thoughtful comments about the past than it is about the present, and partly because the future is now much of a foreign explored land, much more of a foreign unexplored land than it used to be. The big advantage of knowing the past is that it gives us a sense of perspective and a better chance to understand where we're going. So I want to try and explain how we arrived at the position where we are today, with the whole world seemingly frozen in fear of a virus which has been proven to be no more of a killer than a pretty standard annual flu bug. In case any of you are in any doubt about that, let me just remind you of some of the simple facts. You can check out all these facts quite easily by going to official websites such as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States and the World Health Organization.
And the big virus.
First, it's not unusual for the flu to kill well over 600.
I'll just say one thing about Vernon. Now, he is a doctor, a general practitioner, and he doesn't say that viruses, period, are a hoax. So that's the only thing that I can consider suspicious and a form of gatekeeping. Now, I'm not sure if it's just because he's been a doctor for so long, if he's never considered the idea, but everything else he's on board with. So I just wanted to give that little caveat.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Shiva. Mm-hmm. Same thing. He says there's viruses that just... not what people think, so similar things.
Okay.
1,000 people in a single flu season. Just check out the current death total globally for the coronavirus. Remembering that governments are now admitting that their death totals have been wildly exaggerated. In the UK, for example, patients who've tested positive for the coronavirus and then died were put down as having died of the virus, even if they were run over by a bus or battered over the head by a mad axeman. Once you'd had the disease, you could not officially recover from it. This was clearly nonsense, but it was why the total number of deaths built up. Second, governments everywhere have been talking of the R number. This denotes the number of people who are infected by someone with the virus. But the R number isn't of any great significance. If most people who catch the virus have no or few symptoms and then get better, the disease isn't much of a threat. What really matters is the D number. You won't see that quoted anywhere, I'm afraid. It's my own small invention. The D number is the number of people who die of the disease. And it's always been clear that COVID-19 is no more of a killer than the flu. The death rates are much the same, and in both cases, the people who are most likely to die are the ones who are already seriously ill with something else. It was always a nonsense to lock up the elderly. It was those individuals with pre-existing medical conditions who needed protecting. And this is just as true of the flu as of the coronavirus. Third, the number of people who've so far caught the coronavirus is around 10 million, obviously worldwide. But the number who catch the flu easily hit 1 billion.
No, I just wanted to double check with Brian. Make sure you keep an eye on that bell because, you know, you're listening to this video. Make sure you keep an eye for people coming in because Terry said he was absolutely going to be here at 8 o'clock and I don't see him yet, so. Just keep an eye out.
Now you guys can stop this anytime because it's your show, but
cool.
I just...
Go ahead. That's cool. Go ahead, Tim.
Billion. Globally. Even Neil Ferguson, the mathematical modeler who started the chaos, would have to admit that 1 billion is a bigger number than 10 million. So the flu affects more people than the coronavirus. The only reason that the number of deaths with COVID-19 seems to be getting close to the total number of flu deaths in a single season is that the number of COVID-19 deaths has been massively exaggerated. Let me remind you that in the UK it has been officially recognised that the official number of COVID-19 deaths has been massively overstated because of the policy of counting anyone who ever had the infection as eventually dying of it, whatever they died of. And many people who had flu symptoms were counted as COVID-19 deaths. It's also important to remember that total deaths for many countries are just about what they would be in any other year. In some areas, fewer people have died this year than died last year, for example. So what is this all about? Why have nations around the world deliberately overstated the threat of a bug, which is, it's perfectly clear, no more of a danger than the flu? Why were millions put under house arrest and hospital departments closed? Why have economies everywhere been destroyed? Well, I don't think it was some sort of global hysteria. I don't think governments everywhere suddenly went pottier than they usually are. And I don't think a lot of people suddenly made the same mistake in every country. I'm afraid it was and is part of a plan. Malevolent individuals have for centuries dreamt of controlling the world, but their plans have always failed, usually because one mad individual doesn't usually live long enough to see their plans through to fruition. That isn't to say that there have not been some successes. Mao Zedong, Stalin and Hitler all wanted to break down traditional connections so that they could rebuild society and create global citizens. But only China's plan proved really effective, and it was localized to China. This time, as they say, it's different. This time the takeover of the world involves a good many people, and although they have many different aims, they've all taken full advantage of this pre-planned pandemic to further their own ambitions. I know this sounds like a conspiracy theory, and if any of you aren't already aware of what's happening, then I can only ask you to be patient and to trust me. Unless I'm writing fiction, I don't make this stuff up. Although there are inevitably all sorts of lies around on the internet these days. I've dealt with some of the most egregious on my website. Take a look. It's difficult to see precisely where everything started, but things speeded up when the United Nations got involved. And I think the first sign of what's happening now may have appeared in 1976 when the United Nations decided that at some point all private property should be controlled by the United Nations itself. Did you know that? In the decade or so that followed, specific changes were made to education. Instead of teaching children the old-fashioned way and to think for themselves, education was redirected, and the purpose became to train young people so that they would be useful to society and to teach them that individualism and the family were less important than collectivism. Anyone who's seen how the teaching syllabus has changed will understand how effective this has been. Children aren't taught real history anymore, for example. They're taught a version of history which supports the idea of global living. Nationalism and patriotism have become dirty words, and children have been taught to feel guilty for the alleged sins of their ancestors. Colonialism and empire are linked to slavery. For decades now, we've been moving slowly towards the idea of social credit for human value. I'll discuss this in a future video, but the concept is already alive and thriving in China, where individuals get points if they're good citizens and have points deducted if they misbehave. Your rights are then adjusted according to the status of your social credit. One big move appears to have taken place at a United Nations conference held in Brazil in 1992. The conference seems to have been pretty much under the influence of a variety of powerful groups, the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Jesuits, and so on. This was not a one-man plan. For example, it's important to remember that Bill Gates, to many, the number one villain these days, was still flogging software in the 1990s. The changes that are now taking place so rapidly were begun when Bill Gates was still running Microsoft and doing so fairly ruthlessly. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation didn't exist, at least not publicly. The ultimate aim was to end national sovereignty, to break down existing traditional borders, and to then restrict movement, to create human settlement zones, to further dumb down education, and to set in place actions which would lead to mass global depopulation. It was, of course, all about power, control, and money. The people who wanted to change the world realized...
5 minutes, 5 minutes left if you want.
Okay.
He's getting to the punchline.
Of course, that they needed something to drive their plan forward. So they needed to start a major panic that they could gradually build up into a fear which would provide an excuse for the changes they wanted to make. And they decided that they would build their new world order upon climate change, of course. They deliberately created the myth of man-made global warming, carbon taxes, and all the rest of it. They used the idea of protecting the environment to bring in central global control of all land, private property, energy supplies, production and distribution of food, and the control of people. As I've explained in a previous video, climate change was nothing new, even back in the 1990s. The theory's been around since the 19th century, and it was always considered pretty potty and nonsensical. But things really got started in 1991, when the Club of Rome published a book entitled The First Global Revolution, in which it boasted that climate change had been invented as a common enemy of mankind in order to unite the world, and thereby bring about the changes required for a world government and a world church. Everything that's happened in the last 30 years has been a result of that. And now you understand why so many large corporations and government leaders have, contrary to what you might expect, suddenly become wildly enthusiastic about climate change, global warming, global cooling, and whatever else seems fashionable. People who'd never previously shown any interest in environmentalism have suddenly started giving huge amounts of money to green groups and to climate change organizations. Huge banks and investment groups and hedge funds fell over themselves to line up behind a little Swedish girl who played truant and became a figurehead for the new global state. So I'm not sure that's what she thought. The children who had been indoctrinated into believing that the end of the world is just round the corner doubtless believed what they had been told. In fact, of course, the end of the world as we know it was just around the corner, but it wasn't anything to do with climate change. The climate change nonsense was pseudo-scientific gobbledygook that didn't really stand up to examination. People like Prince Charles were brought on board to give the whole thing an air of respectability. The real power brokers did their best to stay in the background. The fact is that climate change was merely the trigger that would prepare us for the huge changes that the power and money hungry wanted to make. And they've managed the climate change scare skillfully and with great success. But climate change wasn't moving things fast enough. The United Nations and those who control it have a plan called Agenda 21, and they have a number of subsidiary plans, such as Agenda 2030, which need to move things faster. Agenda 21 is a conspiracy for world domination. It's nothing less than a coup. Many of those who are overseeing the crisis, which has been deliberately managed, are elderly. It's fair to assume they want to speed things up so that they can see some results in their lifetime. And so now we have a plandemic, the coronavirus hoax, the scare story, the biggest crime in human history, and the associated manipulations. Fear has been created globally. Governments everywhere are using psychological warfare tricks to control their populations. If you haven't seen it, take a look at my video on brainwashing. The nonsenses about social distancing and masks are deliberately confusing. We're living in a world where our own governments are using psyop techniques against us. We're being taught and encouraged to distrust our neighbours. We've been deliberately separated from our friends and our families in order to break our spirit and to make us accept whatever they force upon us next. Naturally, as I said back in February and again in my first video, The Coronavirus Hoax, one of the main aims is to trick us into accepting a mandatory vaccination. As yet, I've no certain idea why, but I have some theories and none of them's very nice. So that's the basic story. That's a précis of what's happened and why. There is, of course, a good deal more. Keep watching the videos and I'll explain more about what's happening. Or if you prefer, just read the scripts, which will be published on my website, www.vernoncoleman.com. Thanks for watching.
There you go. Sorry. That's it. I really wanted to give you guys just a pretty great overview, better than I could have said it. Just so you know what's going on. This mask and all this mask fighting, this is a minor part of the whole plan. This is so big and really...
Hey, let me interject on that.
Go ahead. I'm done. I'm done on that.
Because maybe, you know, maybe we've given you the impression that that's our thing is the mask.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Well, I'm here.
I'm with you.
Okay. Hey, Kenny. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Kenny.
I'm good, man. My dad just called me, so my lines are all mixed up right now.
Okay.
All right.
Is anybody on here besides us?
Yep, Chris and Danielle and Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm gonna. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna charge back out until I finish this call, and then I'll get back on.
All right, Ken.
Okay.
So.
Go ahead, Mike.
A quick note while it's on my head first for Brian. Did you send out those invites that I sent you today?
I did.
I got an invite.
Because what I was going to ask you to do, I forgot, man. We got to make sure that we stress on there 8 p.m. Eastern time. Because, you know, Jen is in Washington. She's probably thinking 8.
Right.
Terry is in Missouri. He's probably thinking, you know, that's probably a 2-hour difference. So we got to stress that.
Australia.
Yeah. So, Tim, can you pull up our website real quick? I know we got a lot on our website, so there's probably a lot you haven't seen, but this is completely 100% relative to what.
Go ahead.
One point I want to say about the video, just it was a good point I had thought about. They're all old people that are, you know, wanting to control, and they're running out of time, so they gotta push it through quicker. So
absolutely, and they want to see results. And climate change, I haven't heard your take on climate change yet. But basically saying that wasn't happening fast enough and it wasn't being believed.
Right.
So that's why you got this virus going on. The hoax.
Do you have
I'm looking at it. Go ahead. I'm looking at it.
So on the drop down bar,
more.
down about, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, somewhere around 12 or 13 or 14 down. It says, how and why a global hoax?
I'm looking.
Yep.
Click on it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you click on that, it'll take you to our page, how and why a global hoax.
Yep.
So I appreciated as well a lot of what this man said, but if you watch that first video that we have on here, that's me and Brian. We were doing a thing called the Mike and Brian Show just for fun.
There's some people that are going to be watching this video.
This one.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
I mean, we pretty much cover everything from A to Z on that as far as, you know, just to give a quick overview of the beginning part of it. When this thing started, the global stock market had reached an all-time high of $28,000, right?
$28,000 points. Yeah, the American market. The American stock market, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, 28,000. So when this thing happened, it was crashing and going down and down and down. And, you know, just one point in the stock market represents millions of dollars. Hundreds of points represent hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay.
You know, thousands of points represents trillions of dollars.
Okay.
So there's a great video. Are you familiar with High Impact Blogs?
I watch Brian? Him. Yeah, I watch Brian. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, back in March, he was really jumping on the issue of the stock market and it going down and how he coined it exactly right. It's a transfer of wealth, right? By doing this global hoax, sure, they have other ulterior motives, but they literally made trillions and trillions of dollars by crashing the stock market and transferring the wealth of all the American people and people around the world, for that matter, unto themselves. Because, again, what's the basis of that? People put their money in the stock market, right? They think they're going to have a nest egg down the road. And if some 9/11 occurs or some problem happens, the stock market crashes, the people lose their money. But that money doesn't just disappear.
If they sell. If they sell.
But if they've got stocks that go down.
I know. Right? But, you know the stocks, almost all stocks are all the way back up now. So you can make money going down. You can make money going up.
Absolutely. But when they bring it down, that money, anybody that doesn't sell out, and many, many people were and do, it's their nature when they see
people do panic.
Down.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
And they will create those panics, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll be honest with you, sometimes...
Bless
sometimes,
you.
Sometimes...
there's Terry.
That's a
who's sneezing? Thing, someone's got allergies. Yeah. Hi, Danielle.
Hello, how's it going?
All right.
It's fantastic. Haven't had a bad day in my life.
Terry, can you hear us? Terry, you need to click, if you can hear us, you need to click your mute button, and you need to click your camera.
But Mike, one thing I want to point out, I'm going to watch your video. By the way, where's that video hosted? It's not on YouTube.
BitChute.
Oh, it's BitChute. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to probably just download it. Maybe if it's good enough, I'll put it on FakoTube.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love Brian. It's kind of like Trump. I said from the beginning, if Trump is Satan himself, he's getting my vote, just because I despise all the career corrupt politicians. And I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt. And at this point, Trump only has till Election Day to secure my vote and many other people's votes if he doesn't call out the virus votes. So just because on principle alone, I won't be able to vote for him if he doesn't call it out. I just won't vote. So it's kind of like Brian at High Impact Blogs. Sometimes I feel like he's a really crafty shill for the system, because he does a great job of creating anti-police rhetoric and stimulating that group of anarchists that are opposed to police.
Yeah.
And he also does a really great job of, like we were just talking, when they create a panic, they want people to panic. And it's amazing, when I look back on Brian's videos in those early days, man, was he the hyper. Man, was he the panic, the man with the horn. It's going down, folks. I mean, look, if it goes down another 3,000, that's historical.
He's a serious thing. He's a fearmonger.
Absolutely.
And one other thing about Brian, which makes him suspicious, although I do like him and a lot of his stuff, why, if he has 400,000 subscribers and he keeps saying every video he's about to be demonetized and kicked off, why hasn't he been kicked off?
Right. That's a good question. That beautiful point, Tim. I think that all the time, too.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We put videos out that get knocked off, and this guy's putting this kind of stuff out, and he ain't
getting knocked off.
He's an insider. I feel strongly he's an insider. Now, because here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Even the things he says that are right, that especially true Americans and patriots will say, about.
Whose phone? That's an old-fashioned phone.
You know,
I think that was Terry.
Yeah, unless that was...
Terry's in Louis in the swampland there.
Hey, are you guys talking about, is he a guy that, like, Lisa Haven has on all the time?
Who's Lisa
I'm
Haven?
Not sure. Thank you, Mama.
I don't know.
She's
just I forget what her channel's called.
Yeah. Rebel Media?
No. No.
Brian, it's a highly produced show, and he's actually, it's really noisy. This is what it sounds like.
Whoa, hold on, partner. Where do you think you're going?
He does a lot of skits.
I'm getting on the bus. I got my ticket right.
Have you heard this?
Look, buddy. There used to be a time where the boarding pass was enough. But you need
he
your
probably started
pass.
Hearing our Mike and Brian show, Brian.
He's got a great, great camera, too. It's so clear. So he's got some high
What's
production
name?
Values. His name is Brian of High Impact Flicks. You'd know him. He does a video every single day.
Here's another point for you. He does multiple videos every single day. And here's another pointer
okay.
for him. When I decided I would send him an email,
yes.
let me pull this up. I decided I would send him an email. And
what happened?
And let me pull it up real quick. The email.
Now, so cough it up.
Interestingly enough, when I decided to send him an email, his email address was...
CIA.gov?
Sales at republicdigital.com.
Okay.
Well, then I went over to another person who's kind of like him that's got a following and is doing a lot of, you know, videos that I was suspicious about. And guess where their email address is? Two totally different people. Sales at republicdigital.com. So I looked up republicdigital.com. And it's a company that supposedly supports and promotes, you know, people to produce their content on the internet. But when I tried to get in touch with Sales Republic at Digital via email, telephone, and everything, no return phone call, no return email, no nothing.
So you think that's just a CIA front company?
Most likely, yeah.
Yep.
And they're fronting.
Yeah, I've seen that guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I a lot of what Brian again says is great. But again, that's the whole point, right?
That's
like,
what,
especially
that's what controlled opposition does. That's what controlled opposition does. They reel you in, they give you a little bit of truth, and then they spin you in a la-la land.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a QAnon thing.
Yeah,
right, absolutely.
They hook you in, and then they actually spin you around, and in the end, you're right back where you started. Nothing, you haven't made any progress. But goddamn, they were entertaining.
One of the things I would always say to him and email and comment on his emails about him and even Douglas Ducote, if you know who Douglas Ducote is, you know, he seems to be a genuine veteran patriot, you know, salute your patriots and your police officers. He was in the Army. He was a police officer. And he's a, you know, an American veteran kind of guy. He got into a spat with Brian. They were like arguing with each other, and it was trivial. And really what Brian was doing was wrong, what he was doing to this guy. So this guy's probably legit and just a real guy like us. And he has a, you know, fairly decent following. He's
but did Brian ever get back to you?
No, I've never heard back from him.
Well, here's something, because you and I can talk, we can email, because we're real. So why doesn't someone who's supposed to be on our side, why can't we talk to him?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so most likely, he's you know, he's definitely some whatever the word might be, you know, an insider, a shill.
And how does he make a living? I know how I make a living because, you know, I'm out in the
road. You know how he makes a living, brother? You know how he makes a living?
Go ahead.
Imagine if I only was on you know, watching his live show for 10 minutes and it was an hour-long show and I saw a super chat come in for $200.
Mm-hmm.
I saw another super chat come in for $100.
Mm-hmm.
I personally... super chat him $20 just out of appreciation because the guy is, you know, putting forth an effort, putting some good videos out. So I shot him over $20.
Okay.
So, and other people, I've seen other 20s and 20s and 20s. So this guy's probably making a killing between, you know, the money he's doing selling his products and the money he's getting on super chats.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that.
And why is YouTube allowing him to make money? Because super chat is a YouTube function, is it not?
That's right, and that's another interesting point you just made up because you're right. He talks about being his videos not, you know, being demonetized. But if you're demonetized, You can't use Super Chat. I'm demonetized. Mike Singer Music.
Interesting. And you're one little pipsqueak guy.
So he's probably a liar too.
And you're one little pipsqueak guy that really has no audience compared to this guy. Why?
Right.
Because you're telling the truth right from your heart. You're not gatekeeping. You're not stopping at anything. You're willing to look at anything. But this guy, is he giving us the whole truth and nothing but the truth? I'm not sure.
He's trying to steer people in particular directions on behalf of the
right.
those that control him, his handlers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So he's not telling the whole truth. So that's gatekeeping. That's controlled opposition. And as long as people are smart enough like you to be aware of that, because I don't think most people realize that in a PSYOP, there are many, many, many components. It's not just the official story. It's the other story. It's how do we manage people if they are doubters? What do we do with them? So,
Brian, can you send Terry a chat and just say we can't see you or hear you? Turn on
I just talked to him. He doesn't have a camera or a microphone on his desktop or a phone.
Okay.
So
but he can hear us?
No, I don't even think he can hear us.
he's mute.
He's going to try to get something going for Monday.
He's like Helen Keller. Can't hear, see, taste.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Good thing we don't have masks on or he would be screwed.
Yeah,
he could probably read our lips, though.
Yeah, really.
Kenny, you got something good for us today? What do you got?
Yeah, they asked the Amish guy, how come there's not a big incidence of COVID in the Amish territories? He said, we don't watch TV.
Beautiful. Yeah, you get COVID from the TV.
I need to find that. It's on YouTube, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like radiation coming out of the TV. The virus radiation.
Yeah. That's a good answer, huh?
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, I always wanted to be an Amish.
There's a lot of Amish where I'm from. About 30 miles from here.
Do you think we'll be able
look
to...
up.
We'll be able to find it on YouTube?
I'm going to try to find it. I can hunt for it. I know you guys got a lot going on. I'm not doing as much as y'all are, but anyway, I wanted to let Chris know I'm trying to get up to Cincinnati. I'm doing research on the old public library. Have you ever seen the picture of the old public library in Cincinnati?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Man, that library was magnificent. I'm going to rebuild it in the 3D domain.
Just a
really?
Quick word for everybody. When we go off in 3 minutes and 30 seconds, we're going to come back on, but then we're going to cut it at 9.
Yeah, I got to go. I'm going at 9, too.
Yeah, we're going to keep it. You know, we'll make it 9 o'clock. We have to reboot it.
I'm looking at YouTube, and I don't see anything for Amish and COVID recently. I see stuff from a month ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody told me that, and I'm just repeating it, and it may not even exist. So I just thought it was a great line, though, if it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Terry said that he forgot it was Eastern time. He wasn't even, I don't think he was coming on. He was just kind of testing it out. So we got to make sure we make it clear that it's Eastern time
for
the Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
8 o'clock.
I saw something interesting today about the temperature guns they're using.
Yeah.
And just how they're putting it directly in front of the pineal gland.
Right.
And how it kind of reminded me of a video I'd seen a while back about they were having a meeting about vaccines and talking about how they wanted to, like, they could tell if a person was religious by the stimulation of a certain part of their brain and how they could
good luck.
Almost diminish it. Because if you mentioned God, they would either get angry or, like, happy. Like, you could tell a difference.
How could they tell the difference? Heat?
Just by the movement. They were studying the brain.
I got news for you. The brain is the most misunderstood. They don't know anything about our brains. I'm telling you right now. It's the last frontier. Anything they say they know is complete BS. Fake science.
Right.
That's complete. That's voodoo.
This person was saying that there's, you know, they're taking these tests every like infrared lights straight in your pineal gland.
Well, here the only benefit I can see about taking a woman's temperature is if you're trying to get pregnant, and you're going to the store, your temperature goes up the day you ovulate by 1 degree. So you could say, thanks, I'm going to go home now and make a baby.
And I'm not going to wear a mask.
Yeah. You are aware, are you aware of that, Daniel? On ovulation day, your temperature actually goes up. So, you know, this is very personal, this taking your temperature by a guy at a grocery store. That's another really humiliating, completely invasion of privacy.
Damn sure is.
Well, my mom got her blood tested the other day, and she's like, my oxygen is low, just by a little bit. And I was like, yeah, you've been wearing your mask. You already have anxiety. Like, cut it out.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit lower than it, like, the range is. And
yeah.
It's like, that's
did you get any of our foreheads, Ken?
Yeah, no. You got to say something while you're doing that, Ken.
I know. So when people start talking about it, I just...
Yeah, oh, there he is. They're taking a sentence.
Yeah, I went to the dentist a week or two ago, and that's I walked in the door, and she's just like... My head.
Guys, we're off in less than a minute. We'll come right back on.
It's so silly.
When I went to the hospital right after it started, I didn't know what was going on, and the girl came up with a gun, and I basically chopped her arm out of there. What, you know, what the hell are you doing? I didn't know what it was. It looked like she was going to shoot me. So
All right, let's get back in the meeting. We just got booted out because that is how Zoom works. We're going till 9 o'clock here. If you're listening live, thank you. We're getting back in here.
You recording? Okay.
We're all back. Back we are. Back till 9 o'clock. There comes
We'll go till 9.
Louisiana, back on the line.
Why, it's Friday night. You guys have plans or something?
They probably have
plans. Yeah, man, curfew plans.
Yep, got to stay in. Actually, we have a drive-in movie tonight here in Fort Pierce, Aladdin.
You look like you're in San Francisco right now.
Yeah, you're in San Fran.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, can you guys do me a favor? Close out your browser, Tim, and open up a browser and go to our website again. Because I think they might have got us again, Brian. Google, when we started our website, it was just increasing pretty well, man, averaging 30 a day, 50 a day, then averaging 80 a day, then averaging 100, then averaging 150. When it was starting to average just over 100 a day, our Google Analytics went kaput, no longer working on our website.
So you want me to close the window?
Yeah, and just open up a brand new window and go to my website.
Okay.
I want to see if it's registering you in the analytics because I went online right now and it didn't show me and it usually does and we're flatlined right now, Brian. I got the analytics open.
Yeah. So I don't even look at that anymore. I just went back in. I don't even care what Google has to say about my numbers. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, we don't either. It's just, you know, in our case, you know, because it is a new site, relatively new, you know, we pretty much, you know, April 1st, you know, we started it, you know, and then we kind of had it half decent by May, and then it was taken off, you know, throughout May into June.
Well, here's the main thing. When you do don't log into Google, do a search. Can you find your website anywhere on Google?
Only if you type in the actual name.
I know. Yeah. See, Google's not helping anyone.
No. Yeah, they got us again, bro, I think.
Why would they, though?
Exactly.
Right. We knew it was coming. We knew the day was coming when they were going to kill our analytics again. But I like the analytics just because it, you know, it lets us have a, you know, some insight because they've got the real time. You know, we can see you know, how many people on there.
Well, you want to kind of have some idea.
Yeah. Because one night we were on watching Richie from Boston.
Yeah.
And
what do you think of him?
He's cool. I think he's legit. I think he's just a down-to-earth real guy.
I do, too.
And then, you know, he was doing a show with Kaufman, and he plugged us, man, because they were doing a big strip across the whole screen. And we kept, you know, typing in answers to their stuff. Is it, you know, thebigvirushoax.com? And I said, you know, hey, Richie, give us a plug. We got a lot of answers here. Dr. Kaufman's a star on our site. And then it came up, man, on the thing, you know, big virus drugs. And all of a sudden, you know, where I had before maybe seen a maximum of 7 or 8 people, I went over to analytics and it was like 36 people. You know, that was cool. It was the first, you know, it was the first time to see like people. Of course, we want 3,600 there every day, you know. They're need, not that we want it, we need it. I mean, the people need it. I mean, but then one of the factors now too that kind of concerns me and maybe Brian is it's well organized, but we have so much information on there. And Brian was talking the other day about us maybe creating an index or something, you know, we could do like an alphabetical order of things that you could click to get to that page. But we got to do something because it is really full of a wealth of information. And there's a lot of different videos on the different pages. Like the page I was telling you to check out, that video, Tim. That was me and Brian were doing this show just for fun, called the Mike and Brian Show, where we were wearing, you know, like, well, we just used a picture that we took a long time ago where we looked like a couple redneck hillbillies out in the backwoods, you know, with fake bad teeth and, you know, hair and stuff and hats on. And we used that picture, but we'd start the show off, you know, it was just verbal, you know, we'd start the show off with, hey, Brian, how you doing, Brian? It's Mikael. You in here with us?
Yeah, Mikael, I'm here. What you doing?
Right, so, and it was just voice. So then I say, okay, well, my mic's here, Brian. I'm gonna put him in. Hey, thanks, Mikael. Appreciate it, man. Hey, Brian, you there? Hey, Mikael, you still there? Brian?
Yeah, I'm here. Here's Brian right here.
All right, hey, Brian, good to see you again, man. And go ahead and put Brian on for me.
Oh, hey, how's it going, Mike?
Hey, Brian. Yeah. Right, so we would just do that just for fun, and it's got this goofy looking picture of us as looking like, you know, backwoods rednecks. So, you know, some people would find it funny, some people would find it, you know, stupid, some people would find it, you know, not the right approach for something serious. And most of our talks were serious, but we tried to just make it funny. But that video that's on that page is from that show. I just edited out the beginning part, and I just, when Brian and I started talking on the issues of how and why this is a global hoax, I edit it from there. So we really are covering the whole concept of how they made money with the crash of the stock market, how they made money, you know, with Trump, you know, signing a $6 trillion bill, you know, getting their government money, how they made money milking the store shelves worldwide. You know, if you're getting people to all go out in a panic and buy everything off the store shelves, you're making money too. You know, the people that own everything. So there's three
and
ways.
And look, they don't ever catch COVID at Walmart. They never do.
That's true.
Why is that, I wonder?
I typed in the big virus hoax on DuckDuckGo, and we were the first ones to come up. Just love big virus hoax. So that's good.
Nice.
So can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy that did the video in Australia at the checkpoint.
Yeah.
Did anybody try to make contact with him? I was just wondering.
Not me.
I haven't yet. Tom Barnett and the guy.
Okay. And then also I wanted to bring up the guy from New York that used to come on. Well, he came on one time, and he was talking. He was from Brooklyn, and every other word was F this, and so I don't know what happened to him, but I wanted to find out what he knew about 9/11 because, you know, people in Brooklyn probably are talking about the whole thing all these years later. I'm sure he would have had some info, you know.
Yeah, he never came back, and I don't know if we have his info or not. But.
You know, even he could have been, you know, enough, you know. I mean, we can't judge him by the way he looked, you know, and the way he was talking. That could have been a put-on, him coming on and saying, yeah, fucking 2 minute niggers on this fucking TV show, you know? I mean, that could have been a put-on just to see if we started going along with it. Like, yeah, all them, you know, get us talking racial crap. And you know what I mean? Very well could have been. Maybe not, but it could have been, you know?
Yeah.
Not that it matters because we don't, there's nothing we're ever doing or saying that they're going to have on us anyway. We're not doing nothing but the truth.
That was one of the first, that was early on when you started doing this. And, you know, people say a few things like that, but there's more stuff you can get from them. You don't have to get all sensitive about it. You just focus on the info that's there that you might be able to
glean out of it, you know?
Right.
You'll have to try to get him back to see if he's cleaned up his act or not.
It don't matter to me. I don't care. He can say whatever he wants, but, yeah. You know, I would like to find out what he knows about that. And
yeah.
Anyway. Hey, Tim, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, come here, Mama. Ben, I keep him there. Let me introduce you to my wife.
Okay.
Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Hi.
Come down.
Buenos dias, amiga.
That's Brian.
That's all I know.
You know Kenny.
Hola.
And this guy right here that we can't see, that's Tim.
Yeah.
One day I'll show
my face.
What's that? Okay. She wants you guys to see her awesome work. Ready?
No, she's an artiste.
Oh, I'm
very
sorry.
Nice artiste. She does stuff for Disney World. Great.
Oh, really?
Or of Disney World. I'm not sure for Disney World.
Very nice. That's the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. And it's made out of foam or something like that, or styrofoam.
Yeah,
it's
called foamy.
Foamy?
Yeah.
As in salami and foam?
Yeah.
Mike, I'll send you a link. Or Brian, I'll put a link in the chat to all the websites that are linked to yours according to this one website here.
Okay.
It might be interesting.
Hey, I was wondering, do you know you're not a big on the Zoom, but you're posting these things once Zoom ends. I wonder if can we get those? Can we get the chat stuff?
The chat, I don't know where the chat goes. I don't really save this chat.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Unless you click on it and open the web page, I guess it disappears.
Well, actually, you can save the chat, it says here. If you go to chat, click the three dots and save chat, it will save it. I've never saved it, but you should.
Yeah, if I can figure it out.
Okay. You just open the chat window, the bottom right, three dots, click it, save chat, it'll save it to your whatever device you're on. I don't know how it works on an iPad.
Mine doesn't have three dots, unfortunately. I'm on an iPad.
On the very bottom right, I saved it. I clicked save.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I always recommend use a desktop if you can. These iPads and whatnot, they're pretty limited. You can do so much more, obviously, on a computer. But that's a backlink checker, and you can type in your website, and you do have a few links to your website from other places.
Good. That's good to know. And then we can communicate with them.
Maybe, yeah. There's not that many. I don't know what they all are.
Turn on your chime, Brian, in case anybody comes in. I got to go use the restroom.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame open?
I think he left.
Yeah, Chris, they bailed.
They bailed,
Unless they got, like,
they went to watch a movie. This is boring to them, I guess, tonight. We're not exciting enough. Ha ha.
That's
all right. See it, Aladdin.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
I may end up going up there. If I go to Cincinnati, I may make the extra miles if they're open. I've been once before, but I would love to go back again.
Where?
Have you been over to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tim?
No.
I haven't.
I have not. I haven't been to Cleveland in 40 years.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. I may get to go. I may not. Any news from Canada at all?
Well, the only exciting news, if you like politics, is the one member of parliament, which is like your state legislature, the one person who didn't like the government giving themselves another year of unlimited emergency power, she just said she'd like to debate it, so they just threw her out of the party.
Oh, no.
So now you lose a lot of benefits and status, so she's not in the government party anymore. They just threw her out.
I wish they would do that with AOC. We need to go ahead and kick that woman out.
Yeah, if she is a woman.
Well, she doesn't look. She can't even reason like a normal human being about. You know, when she starts talking about money and all that, and these these old congressmen are like, well, where are you going to get that? That's like $5 trillion you're talking about. She has no idea what she's doing.
Yeah,
she's,
well.
She's a plant. She's a plant, for sure.
Yeah, just because you got a pretty kind of face doesn't mean you get to go and rule everything.
Well, she might be targeted to move up. They might move her up the ladder, so it doesn't really matter what her policies or views are. As long as she is popular and people like her, they'll move her up.
Oh, yeah.
She said something about cow farts, and then she said she didn't. But, you know, they recorded it already, and so she couldn't get out of it.
But, you know, in the bigger picture, none of these actors make any difference.
No.
It doesn't matter. They're all, that's all distraction. They're all put there to keep your eye off the ball. The big prize is the technocracy that's coming.
Yeah.
And you're either going to be surprised by it, or if you're listening to us, you'll be ready for it, because I don't see what's going to stop it. I think the most exciting thing really is in the southern states. The numbers they're making up are off the charts. Now, I don't hear them every day. You're in Louisiana. I don't know if you're one of the 7 or 8 states that didn't go into lockdown at the time. But you're the one. I think they're trying to teach the southern states a lesson by simulating some insane numbers. And that's,
I think they locked down Louisiana. Didn't they do a lockdown, right?
They did a statewide mandate, but they're only going to go 2 more weeks, and then they're going to picking places that have low numbers. Of course, the French Quarter in New Orleans will probably stay that way for quite a while. But, you know, out in the middle of the sticks, up in the middle of the state, there's nothing going on there. The people should be able to just go about their business, you know. All they're doing is going to the hardware store and going to the farm and going to the job, and nobody's doing anything. They're not having concerts or anything.
They're just working.
Just working. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, like me, I've been on the computer. I was on the computer at the end of the year because Unreal Engine was released to the public, which is a 3D construction software, and so I'd been eyeballing it, but they charged for it, but then they released it for everybody. So if you've got a computer that's big enough to run it, you can just get it for nothing. And so I loaded it up and started learning it, balls to the wall, and so I didn't really get affected by this virus. I was always just in there learning this thing, you know? That's it.
Yeah, I heard in the French Quarter, if you go to the French Quarter, you got to put a mask on your beignet before you eat.
Okay.
Read something about that.
Well, my buddy that I was riding with in the car yesterday, he had an idea. Now, I know the Chinese are listening to us, but I told Brian about this today that... he said, print up some little index cards and take the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, or the Constitution, and print it in Chinese, and then try to get the card to China so that they can copy it and distribute it through the people so they can see what they're missing. And I thought that was a good idea. That's the kind of fringe thinking I'm looking for. Instead of sitting around with your hands up in the air, try to sneak something in the back while they're not looking so that they can, you know, so you can create some kind of trouble on the backside, you know.
Well, just so you know, total cases, there's a website called worldometers.info. I'll put that in the chat. And the second worst state by total cases per million population, right after New York, is Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they are smashing you guys hard with the simulation numbers. So they are definitely targeting Louisiana Because what they're doing, the simulation is this. The whole purpose is to convince everyone in the world that they need a vaccine. It's not to force you, necessarily, but they want to convince you first, so you voluntarily get it, and then they'll make their millions and get you under control, basically, because in order to get the vaccine, you'll need to be digitally tracked. It's sort of, they work together. So the excuse to track you digitally is to get you to take the vaccine. Now, like I said, I think vaccines either do absolutely nothing at the very least, or they can make you sick. Can they kill you? I don't know. I don't think they're deliberately going to poison people to kill them off quickly. They don't have to do that, as much as they're evil, I don't think they are going to just kill people wholesale. So I think they can kill you with fear a lot easier and get away with it. So the idea is, my idea is that Louisiana probably has a very low vaccine uptake, where in general, probably people in Louisiana don't believe in vaccines for whatever reason. Therefore, they're targeted with the phony numbers to change the hearts and minds of the people. So that's why if you look on this worldometer.info, which is completely simulated numbers, but it's literally to convince your population and your policymakers, your governor, your parish, whoever runs your parishes, it's to convince you into accepting vaccination.
To piggyback on that, Tim, again, we're really lockstep in an awful lot, and we're a little bit different, right? It's not so much the deaths, even though I do believe that is a factor that they can use it for that purpose.
Okay.
But the whole concept of technology, right? The reality of nanotechnology, which is always getting more nano, the reality of the expanding things that they can do with nanotechnology, combined with robotics, combined with technology and computers and the internet and artificial intelligence. Therefore, the more nanotechnologies they can inject into people, the more types of experiments they can do, the more kinds of tracking they can do, the more kinds of making people sick and calling it a virus so that people go in and get more shots, therefore more money they can do. It's the whole reality of being able to use the concept of viruses to promote the concept of vaccines in order to implement their ever-expanding technological advances and being able to get it into the human body for any number of reasons. Tracking them, making them sick, whatever it might be.
Yeah, we're pretty close. Yeah, I'll never say I know what they're doing. These are just my guesses. I don't know what's going on, but every day I think my guesses get better by talking to you, by listening to Vernon and all the people I listen to. So I'm just refining my opinion every single day. So you might be right. Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do. It's 9 o'clock. Tim, just so you know.
Yeah, I think I got to pack it in.
Yeah, good night, guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday, hopefully.
Oh, you guys don't do it on the weekends?
No.
Nope, just weekdays.
Oh, okay. I like your background, Brian. That's cool. Now you're in front of the...
Yeah.
Put up the Warriors for them.
Somehow I need a flat earth to show up on.
Do you have a green screen, or is that just a Zoom feature?
It's a Zoom feature type thing, yeah.
Okay, because I thought I saw a green screen, but I guess that was another background you had there.
Put up the Patriot Action Warriors, man. You look like a badass sitting in front of the Patriot Action Warriors.
I'll have to find that.
How did you and Brian, how did you and Mike meet?
Back in 1983, we were working in a natural food market together.
Oh, so you go way back. Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, before truth, before truthing, before finding truth.
Brian's humble, so I'm going to tell you because, you know, he doesn't usually talk about it. But back in 1984, when we were working in the store, there was a place down the road called Kendall Toyota that was doing a contest, and Brian told me, hey, they're doing this contest. I put my name in the bucket, and they drew my name out, and, you know, there's like 20 people they drew that are going to stand around the truck with their hand on the truck, and the last person standing gets to keep the truck. you know, so can you help me out? I said, yeah, man. So my wife, my first wife and I, we were bringing him carrot juice and wheatgrass and, you know, just helping him out for a couple of days, and other people were helping. And it was called a hands-on hard body contest. So sure enough, Brian won the truck. And so, you know, it was within months, you know, that I ended up joining the Navy and going my way, and Brian went back to Alabama or whatever and went his way. And 15 years went by, you know, and we ran into each other at the same health food store just as it was going out of business, because the owner of that store ended up being my business partner for a children's music book that I wrote, a musical project for kids. And he was investing in it, and I was over there talking to him. And there's Brian, man. He came out and was like, hey, man, what's, man, wow, you know, that was a trip. And he says, yeah, man, you remember that truck you helped me win 15 years ago? I said, yeah. He says, I've won 21 vehicles since then.
What?
Yeah. Around the country, man. Kenny helped him out with different contests in Louisiana.
Wow.
Country.
So you made a living doing that. Wow.
Yeah. And he ended up being on the Rosie O'Donnell show back in those days, because there's a movie called Hands on Hard Body that came out, which Brian, when he was down here last week, we watched. It's a cool movie where they were doing kind of a documentary. Where was that at, Brian? In Texas,
Longview, Texas, yeah.
Longview, Texas. And it was like a movie, but it was like a documentary, and they were showing, and Brian said he had won at that same location like 2 years later or something.
Oh, I remember that. I think I remember that movie. I might have watched a bit of that. Okay, I know that.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Pretty cool. So that night, this was like in 1999 maybe or 2000. So Brian and I went across the street to the mall, man, and we sat there, you know, from 8 in the evening until 5 o'clock the next morning just talking, man, and catching up and reminiscing about stuff.
Nice.
And then we just kept connected ever since then, you know, and we've been through a lot. I went and helped him do some other contests. I helped him do one up in Carbondale, Illinois. He won something there. We did one over on west coast of Florida. He won one there. We drove up to Arkansas to do one, but they, you know, disqualified him before it started because they found out he had won other times.
Wow.
So we were all pissed off about that, but he still
ended up doing one.
Brian, that's interesting. Are there a lot of people like you that do that, that really get into these contests?
I don't think so. I think there were a couple. There were two brothers that did it back when I started that had won a few together. Like, they'd both get in the contest, and they'd stay till the end, and then the one guy would, you know, they'd be the last two, so they'd win the first prize and the second prize. And they just had the technique, and then I kind of learned a few things from them.
Did you see there was a movie that I can't remember the name of right now, because you might be interested in this, since this is what you were doing. There was a quiz show on TV. I used to watch it. It was the one where they said big bucks, no whammies. Do you remember what's it called? And
Card Sharks? No.
No, it wasn't Card Sharks. But the point is, a guy studied the pattern where the board would flash, because it would look like it was randomly flashing, and, you know, you just press the buzzer at the right time. And he figured out the computer algorithm, because it wasn't that complicated, by recording every show and playing it back a million times until he could figure out exactly when to hit the buzzer. And he went on the show and cleaned them out. And they did not know, they just thought he was great and lucky, but he actually spent a long time figuring out which way the lights flashed. And this is before really random high-end computers would take it. So there was, I don't know how, but it was, you could almost call it a glitch from the days of maybe slower, dumber computers. And you should watch it. It's really fascinating how he figured it out. And I think they ended up just saying, listen, how are you winning all this money? They wanted to know, because they wanted to stop as well. Because they just said, stop, you're
So the guy on Jeopardy that kept winning.
Yeah. Now, do you think that's real, or do you think they staged that just to generate interest in the show?
I didn't watch it enough to really know.
That's possible.
Because there's no such thing as bad publicity, so any controversy is great for the show, because if you keep seeing a guy keep winning, they're going to get more people tuned in. It's just like the fake lottery, by the way. You know the lottery's fake, right?
I'm thinking it is.
All the big prizes are fixed. There's nobody, The chances, because the odds are horrible at the big lotteries, almost nobody statistically could win. So they actually, to keep the lottery going, they fake the big prizes almost all the time.
They fake them and just don't pay out, you mean?
No. They just pick a guy. Yeah, well, they say you won when he probably didn't. They pick an actor and just pay him acting fees. They don't get the money. And it just keeps the money flowing. Because if nobody wins the lottery, people actually forget about the lottery. They forget about buying the tickets. They lose interest. But when the prize goes way up, that's when they make money. Because everyone plays. Because the number gets higher. But I don't think there's any real winners in big lotteries. There's lots of little winners. Because the odds are terrible. The odds are impossible. So they can't keep... If they just left the odds real, it would probably take years and years before anyone won. But they can't wait years and years. They need a winner every so often. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. People lose interest. They don't make the money. So they stage the winners. There's lots of little winners. Because everyone knows, he won 10 bucks, he won 100, he won... Even I would say they probably pay properly up to $1 million. But the 200 million ones, forget it. So there you go.
Yeah, it's a good point because the odds
certainly possible. I contemplate that one as well.
Yeah.
And if you read 1984, George Orwell said it himself. They faked the lotteries just to keep people distracted.
And to be honest with you, one way they'd be able to do that is because of supercomputers. That supercomputer could spit out, here are the numbers that nobody has played.
Of course.
And then they'll make those numbers be the ones.
Yeah, the computer knows which numbers are played every week. It's not random. I would never trust a computer or a computer slot machine, a computer voting machine.
I know.
Can't trust them.
Yeah,
there's just no way.
Exactly.
You can't trust them. So there's just another part of our fake reality.
That's they advertise, come on by, we're loosening up the slot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Kenny was talking about ways to promote the site, and I was mentioning one. I think I mentioned it to you, Mike. Just print out little business cards on paper, you know, like the Big Buyer's Books or fakeologist.com, and just when you're walking around grocery stores, just set them on, you know, just set them around stores and wherever you go.
Right.
It seems like people would pick them up eventually, you know, some would pick them up and...
Yeah, then the manager would pick them up and throw them in the garbage. You got to be careful.
Yeah, honestly, my four sheets to the wind, baby, is what I want to do. Four sheets to the wind. I told Brian we need to go get four cheap $1 at the dollar store white bed sheets, a cheap can of spray paint, and very neatly get my wife, who's an artist, to spray on each sheet big virus hoax, like 6 foot tall, and then go over a super highway on I-95 where there's tons of rush hour traffic, and just pin it up there. It'll be up there at least for an hour or two or three before they take it down.
if you stand there and hold it, they're not going to take it down as well.
Right, they could just tell us to leave with it. Brian was here, unfortunately.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you're holding it, just like you can be in front of a business and walk around with a sign, they can't touch it.
That's true. I'll just say, hey, man, I got First Amendment right, man.
That's right, yeah. Good point. Four sheets to the wind. I like it, yeah.
I want to do four sheets to the wind, man.
Okay, it was called Press Your Luck Scandal, and it's on YouTube. Because I've told you before, almost every story in the media is fake or staged. I don't know if this is a real story, but it doesn't matter. It's still an entertaining movie. It's on YouTube. You can watch it for free, and it's interesting. And of course, the guy's dead, so we can't talk to him, but it might be real. I mean, it says, on May 19th, 1984, an out-of-work ice cream truck driver from southwestern Ohio broke the bank on CBS's hit game show of the mid-1980s called Press Your Luck. So,
that'd be a big buck, the Press Your Luck Scandal movie, 2000.
Hey, Kenny, show me some of the Louisiana. I like the way those houses look in the background, man. Show me some Louisiana, man.
Yeah, here's the neighborhood. Small little houses. Those are, look, the one down there with the yellow light, that sold for $295.
That's not bad.
And look at the pink sunset we got.
Nice.
You know, Louisiana's got some beautiful sunsets. Look at that.
Yeah, what are the mosquitoes like?
Oh, man, they're bad. Now, tonight is a cool night. We got a breeze, so they're down a little bit. But when it's muggy and the wind's not blowing, they get on you quick, man. They're like humming birds.
Oh, great. I hate skeeters.
Louisiana.
And look, you get in the bed and you turn the light off and you're about to doze off and you hear,
oh, I hate that noise. Yeah.
I know, right?
Oh, jeez. All right, you guys are the best. Take care, guys.
Okay, hey, Tim, please do your best to not only watch that one video on the top of the page, but there's some other good videos on that page, man. Good hoax reality stuff on that page.
I will watch it. I will watch and listen. All right, take care, guys.
Okay,
good night.
Good night, Ken.
And that's the end of the Fakeologist broadcast tonight. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a good night.
That's all, folks.